Real quick, because I want to tear the practical things apart. So to fill up your lines, the next one, there are plenty of ways to get ahead. The first is so basic, I'm almost embarrassed to say it. Spend less than you make. He said earn. So he's from InvestSmart, and it's very, very true. Like Paul from InvestSmart, that's what you got to do. You got to spend less. So you got to be able to budget to be able to do that. When it comes to our money, you need to be knowing where your money is going. You got to know where it's going. You got to track it. So this is what I want to show you about some budgeting tips. Before we open up some online budget programs that you can use that makes it really easy, some budgeting tips that you can write down so you can turn to that big white page. Buy on sale. Okay, that's basic. We're talking basic stuff here. You're going to look at this stuff and you're going to roll your eyes, but you know what? We don't do it. So buy on sale when you can. It can. I'll tell you why. You're talking about my marriage. I know. You're talking about my marriage. This is what my wife will do. So don't. I should. What she'll do? Yes. She'll see a sale and she'll buy because she saw the sale, but she didn't really need the thing. So that's not what a sale is for. Yeah.
I walk in, all these sales people come over and say, oh, we've got the latest from over there. And I say, thank you. Where's your sales, please? That's my first time.
Me too.
And guess what? I walk out the back and there's nothing. And then I come back next time I'm there.
Yeah, because there will be stuff on sale eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can wait long enough to have the item that you need, hopefully you need it, try to get it on sale. The next one, decide together, couples. Don't have, I'm looking right at you. Don't go out and buy something and come home and go, oh, by the way, look what I got. Okay? So, yeah, absolutely. The next one.
What if it's at a really, really good sale?
Really? Okay. You can text. Hey, by the way. Create spending allowances. It sounds old-fashioned, but it does help a lot. If you know what, I got $1,000 a month, and you can blow that. You know, that's my fun money. Wouldn't that be fun? Okay, let's roll it back. It's $100 a month. Let's say that. Okay, so I got a spending account. Wouldn't it be fun if it was $1,000? Create spending allowance. The next one. Have the spender pay the bills.
What if it's not just one of you?
Well, then both of you pay the bills together. Because when you're just the spender and you don't realize the cost, it's easy to just keep spending. But work together, of course, not two of you. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Your marriage is intact. Try your best. To the person that is spending, if it's both of you, then both of you pay. Or if it's one of you, okay, honey, you're going to actually pay the bills this month. And then you start to realize, wow, we got nothing left. So then you don't go in debt. Pay on time. Those credit cards, pay on time. And the neat thing about them is you actually have a 1 month, well, I think it's about 27 days. How many? 21 days of free money, but you make sure you pay it. Pay it before that 21th day, or you actually pay the interest on anything, like it's a dollar. So, yeah, credit cards. The credit card, make sure that you're paying it right away, even if there's a dollar that's left over that you didn't pay at all. You only paid $99, but it cost $100. You're paying 21% on that dollar. So make sure you're paying that off. Put it on something else, a lower spending account or something that you have to do at your bank. Pay that off.
The daily interest rates and all those, like a fine, fine, fine credit card, right? Not on the front of the
Yeah. Next one. Just say, oh, wait. Okay. Could even be that bad. Balance left over. Yeah.
So whatever the balance you're carrying went into the charge. So like, which, interestingly enough, if you don't make the payment about 3 days, because that's about how long an electronic payment takes.
Yeah.
If you make the payment 3 days before the due date, you could be carrying the full balance on the due date and be charged interest on the full balance, even if you paid the full balance off.
Crazy, eh? Yeah. So this, anyone want to take a guess on this one when you're budgeting? Just say... No, no, I'm not buying that today. No. Bluetooth high tech, no. Just say no. What is that? That house, electronic house thing? What is that called? Yeah, there's many of them. Yeah, where everything's electronic, you can go. Yeah, smart house. You speak and the lights will turn on, your stereo turns on, your coffee maker. Just say no. I'm not going to do that. The next one, save your raises. A lot of people don't think about this, but if you get a raise, you lived on it already for the last 12 months for sure. So now you've got some money you can start to save. Okay, save your raises. Don't increase your spending. Live on one, if you can, live on one salary. Now all of a sudden you've got $1,000 a month, not the blow, but $1,000 a month to actually put down on your mortgage payments or whatever it might be. Try your best if you can do it. Not everybody can do it, especially in our generation. We're so maxed. But if you can, give it a try. Or some of it, anyways. Something instead of lease. Own, forego. Yeah, totally. Don't even get it. Own it. Own it. Buy it. Don't lease it. Don't lease it. If you can, try to buy it. Unless it's a real true lease to own, no loss. Now, I don't know if you can find a contract like that, but where you actually just pay it out and you lost nothing and it was all great. So then it's kind of like 0% car loan idea, but that's probably not the way it's going
to
be.
When you lease a car to own, I've never done it, so that's why I'm asking this question. When you lease to own a car, you're always losing?
Yeah. You're always losing, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah it's...
If it's a super-duper deal, and it's a super-duper lease, you can take that further.
Yeah.
Well, you just said, what if it's a super salary?
Yeah. Here's the other thing about cars, if you want to talk about cars, about buying the car. Some people like to trade it so often so that they don't, you know, have a car that all of a sudden has a lot of repairs. Don't ever trade before year four, because you will never ever catch up and you'll be paying more and more and more and more and more. But at about year four is when there's enough value that you can trade, take the assets that's in it and move it on over on a trade. Don't ever do it before year four, that's for sure. Well, I don't know. Yeah, because at that point, it's going to be cheaper, though. A lot cheaper for the new buyer. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You can buy a pre-lease and have your manufacturer warranty.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's using wisdom. Next one. Have adequate insurance. Now, insurance is a kind of weird thing. You've got to shop. Unfortunately, with ICBC, with your cars, you can't do that in this province. But when we were in Alberta, man, we shopped and we got insurance cheap. Mm-hmm. Make sure apples to apples comparison that you're still getting the same coverage. But you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If there's going to be a fire. There's several fires that happen in houses. And I remember last year there was a house in Vancouver and on the news and burnt down to the ground. And she had no insurance. Like, that's just horrible.
Yeah.
That's really going backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you're not insurance broke, so now you're like way too much. But you do need medical insurance, and you do need a house insurance, and yeah.
I suggest
renter's
insurance for those of us who
have
contents. Is that what it is? Contents insurance?
It's not just content insurance. So there is content insurance, but renter's insurance actually also protects you if you do something stupid and wreck something in your
Oh, okay.
So if you leave a tap running or whatever and flood the bathroom and have
right.
to the floor, your renter's insurance can protect you.
Right. So if you're renting. Okay, that's a good one. The next one. A lot of people don't think about this. I said it this morning. Have a will. Like, seriously. Go, even if you download one from online and go to a notary and sign it in front of them, pay $100, have something. Don't live your life without a will. And even those who are like young adults in your church. And actually, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada has a stewardship service free. It's awesome.
We have a will.
Good. It's free. It's great. So do it. The next one, max out your tax return. So I'm going to max out your credit card return. Okay. I'm going to email this to you. I didn't put this on a slide last night, and I should have. I can email it to you if you want to give me your email afterwards. But if you go online to CRA, they will actually list on there your tax brackets. And tax brackets would be how much you earn, and if you earn, like, you get a raise, $100, woo, great, and all of a sudden you're in a higher tax bracket, and you got to pay more money. So tax bracket is definitely something to consider, and you mentioned it earlier when it comes to like something like RSPs. There are certain things that you can actually do, like RSPs, giving to a charity, a registered charity, where you do that throughout the year, and it brings you back down under the tax bracket, even though you made this much. Now, online, it looks like you're only making this much because you gave so much away. That's kind of a good thing to do.
On top of that, when you could not go to charity, but when you contribute to an RSP, it moves your tax bracket down now. You actually still get that money because when you retire, that money is taxed, but it's taxed at a much lower tax bracket.
Right.
So you're pulling in less income. So you're keeping more of the money
for your savings. Agreed. Registered retirement plan. You need to do that. Savings plan. It's very, very important. And some of you might have a company pension. Maybe that's what you got to. That's what we got. I go through the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada Pension Fund, and I've been doing that since 20. So there's going to be a lot there by the time I'm 65 that I can actually live on. So there's that too. But that's not offset, I don't think, because it's not a registered. I think it's just a retirement savings plan. But you can do the registered one, which comes shaves off your taxes. Yeah. Yeah.
When you're drawing off your RIF, you want to be aware of, so you may want to start drawing off your RIF before you get a pension if you've got a large pension. Because when you're getting a pension, that's income as well, and it counts as income, it's taxes income.
Right.
Your RIF as well, that's on top of that, and then your RIF
right.
is tax
double tax.
So you may want to, say, start taking your RIF at 60
yep.
when you're working part time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
So, you know, go talk to your financial advisor.
Yeah, there's tricks like that. So that's very, very important. So your tax bracket. So if you do a standard tax bracket, if you get under $80,000, this is how it would look. Your first $46,000 for federal tax, you pay 15%. Did it go up? This was 2018, so maybe 2019.
End of 2018.
Whoa, okay. So this is on CRA website, so I didn't even get that from there.
Yes.
Great. Okay. And then plus 20.5%, might be like 21 now, on the next 46. So your first 46, you're paying 15%. And then the rest on top of that, you're paying 20%. Maybe it's now 21, 22 if they've upped it. So that's like big time. So in the average, if you average all of that together, you're paying approximately 17 to 18% to the federal government. Then you also pay to the provincial government, and it's the same kind of lines. The first percentage is 5, the second one is 7. So it's approximately 6%. So you're paying approximately 24% of your income into taxes. And you got to do everything you can to do stuff like RSPs or giving to this church. Just keep on saying it. Just maybe give me like a high five later on. Seriously, that'll drop you down in your tax bracket, and you won't have to give so much in taxes. It does work. And again, if you need a financial advisor to talk to figure out where's my line, go ahead and do that, or you can go online and kind of get it from there. When it comes to your donations, if you are only giving $200 a year, and we got a lot of Christians who do that, you only get 15% return of credits on that. But if you give over, then it's 29% of that donation you get back at the end of the year. Tax credit. So it drops down everything. Yeah, he's not going to give you, the government doesn't give you a check. It drops down your credits, which makes a difference on your return in the end. Yeah, so you get like approximately one third of your 10% that you're giving, you get one third of it back. It depends where your tax bracket is and all that kind of stuff, but that's the approximate line. So it kind of is a good incentive in Canada to be a donator. So donate your money. It'll get your taxes, make it a whole lot easier. So that's kind of your budgeting tips. Here's something on your shopping tips. This is really down to basic practical tips. Something shop at just one store. Don't shop at just one store. Because, what's that? Yeah. Yeah, any kind of shop. Well, grocery shop, yeah. Let's say specifically grocery shopping. You go to grocery shopping, and I learned this from my wife. She's really good at it. Grocery shopping at a store. She will say, oh, I could have got that at Walmart for this. And then we go to Walmart, and Walmart doesn't have the item that she got at Safeway for the sale price at Safeway. And you actually could be wise if you would take note, write down, do a kind of a mail thing. The males do this. I do this. I check for the best price when I go to the mall. If I want to buy a shirt, all the men's stores, and then I go, okay, our best price would be that one, and I come back at it. So if you can do that, or you can go online, and you can shop online, and they'll show you all the sales that there are in different stores, and you can pick, okay, I'm going to go to Walmart for that, and I'm going to go to Safeway for that, and you can use coupons and all that kind of stuff. So do that kind of stuff. When you shop, always shop with a list. A list. Because we shop sporadically. And we shop, do you know, my wife, she works at Costco. When you go to Costco, the ends of the aisles, are always the hot item. And that manufacturer spends a lot of money for that space. But you go down the aisles, and down the aisles is cheaper space for those manufacturers. So the ones at the very, very end are very, very expensive. So what you want to do with those kind of things, have a list, because when you go into stores, they place those in eye view for a reason. Because you're like, oh, I'm really hungry, so I'm going to go. Don't ever shop when you're hungry. That's another thing, too. So I'm really hungry, and oh, look, they got this already barbecued ribs ready to go, and it's right there. Well, if you are wise, you go to a shopping with a list. I don't have ribs on my list. So I'm not going to buy ribs just because they motivated me to buy ribs. Now, maybe you do when you get there. You go, oh, I forgot about that. I'll get that. Or I'd like to have that because I got some people coming over. But be very cautious about what you see is what you buy. Try and map it out. Now, it might sound very man-like or male-like. I don't know. My wife, she goes, you're such a man the way you think. So that's the way she always talks to me. You're such a man. You always think that way. But she's really good, but yeah, some things she gets prompted by while she's shopping. The other one, bring a calculator. My wife taught me this because when I go shopping with her, if some stores actually caught on to this, and they will actually put down how much it is on the label, how much it is per item also. Because you can buy like a bulk of five. Because a lot of stores will do that. Safeway will put, here's a sale of, if you buy five of these items, it'll be this much. Or you go to Costco, and they actually have like in a cart, a box of four orange juices in a box. Well, how much is for each box? And so if they don't have it written out, how much each item is, it's hard to do the calculation in your brain. And so she'll say, well, take your phone out and do it. So I'm like, okay, oh, that's only $1.50. And then she's really sharp at this. She'll go, well, actually, at Safeway, it was $1.20. But if I didn't have a calculator, I wouldn't be able to figure out that there's 4 divided by and all that. So go with a calculator in your purse or in your attaché, whatever you got, your case. That can help you. Yes, you got to watch that too.
And the ferry.
And the ferry. I'm not going to Costco.
Yeah, there's not usually a big, like, we don't have Costco or Walmart, a lot of those.
Yeah.
Big box companies, so we don't have a lot of choices from grocery stores.
Right.
So, but, like, they're all close.
Yeah.
Proximity wise, like, geographically. So,
yeah.
That's hard to.
That's seashell, you go up there.
That's where we live.
Yeah, okay, all right. Okay. Shop store brands when you can. You have to obviously watch, because I don't know if the quality is good on all of them, but usually it's pretty much the same quality, because usually it's the store themselves. They bought it before you saw it come out on the shelves, and they're just reboxing it and selling it at their wholesale price and making some money on the side. So usually it's the same thing, but not always. So you got to kind of watch, but shop store brands when you can. The next one, find coupons. My wife is notorious for this. The flyers come in, and I know you got to watch, because usually the flyers is enticing, and they cause you to go want to buy something that you really didn't need. But my wife is really smart about that, so she just clips out the ones that are really good, and she's constantly, she'll pull out of her purse, and then it really makes a difference. You see the price when you go to a lot of these stores, you know, say it Safeway, let's just put it that way. Go to Safeway, and there's your bill, and then you start giving the coupons, and you watch it, $50 off. Wow, that's great. It was going to cost you $300, now it's $250, because you brought the coupons in. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, exactly the same thing. So do it. You get it in the mail, so go ahead. Stock up on sale goods when you can. So obviously, like, it's an idea, like a Costco or whatever place you're at. Maybe you're in Vancouver, and there was a sale on so many amounts of nacho chips. They're not going to go bad, or canned goods. Well, it's a sale. I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to bring it home, and I'm going to stock it. Here's the other trick to that. Organize your
pantry,
cupboards. If you are not an organizer, your shopping for sales and stocking up goes for naught, because it'll be behind something back there, and you totally forgot you had 2 bottles of ketchup back there that you bought at Costco, and you just went and bought another one. And now you got to throw one away because the date's gone too long. So be wise. Organize. Organize your cupboard. And if you are not good at it, you can hire an organizer. Maybe Pastor Leslie's wife. Pastor Leslie. Let's just call her. Maybe she's good at it. I don't know. Hire someone to organize your house if you have to. Okay. So, own instead of lease, which you mentioned before. Don't even worry about that. Plan meals ahead. Very good. Starting on Sunday, okay, we're sitting down before you go to work, husband. Let's write down, we're going to have a barbecue on Tuesday, and Wednesday's going to be, we're going to have some people in our house. On Wednesdays, we're going to have nacho night. Why? Because then you can buy in advance, and you can be careful. Instead of buying extra, you only buy what you need. Yeah.
Or let's do this tonight. And
yeah.
Impulsive?
Impulsive buying. Oh, it's bad.
I guess so.
Impulsive shopping, bad.
No idea.
Okay. So this you don't have in front of you, but I will email it to you. If you want, it would be really good for me to get your email addresses. If you like, I can email this to you. Or you can write down this. Crown Financial, write down Crown Financial. You will put that in your search bar, Crown Financial. That's Larry Burkett. He has all kinds of free resources on there that you can just download, and there's some apps you can use for your phone where you can take shopping, and it'll do all kinds of stuff for you. There's a really neat app that I just found this week, and my son was using it, and it is awesome, and it's called Mint, M-I-N-T, Mint. Comes in green in color, and it's actually from TurboTax, and Mint is really cool because what it'll actually do is you can link your bank accounts to it, so it automatically, whenever you go buy stuff, you don't have to go and write down, how much did I spend on whatever that was, and forget this budget stuff. That's way too hard. It actually does it for you automatically because you already went to the store, use your debit card, or you can also link your credit cards to it, and you went for credit, and all of a sudden, you see all the things you bought right in front of you. It's a great way to keep your marriage. Keep your marriage intact. So you're like, open up, my husband bought what? Everything. So everything automatically comes on your app. And then also along with that, your income, if you do automatic deposit, maybe your employer does that. I don't know if the government does that yet, automatic deposit. So you see the money automatically coming in. And then, great. And then he has all these pie charts that open up. This is how much you spent on food. This is how much you spent on going to the movies. This is how much. And so then you're going, whoa, I got to pull that back a little bit next month because I'm doing way too much entertainment. And I got to now take care of my kids because they got braces coming up. I got to start saving some money. So they also have on the pie chart there what you have in your savings account. And it's growing or it's decreasing. So use electronic means to be able to track your income and your expenses. And not only is electronic, these types of apps will also have an input because sometimes you do use cash. Okay, so great, I'm going to use cash. Or maybe you want to input your check because it'll take a month for that person to cash it and I want to feel like I've already spent it. So you input it in there and you kind of see it. So it's great. These types of apps are awesome. Now, you go to Crown Financial, same thing. So this here, it's more like old school, or you can use it like new school. But because it's American, it doesn't link with our Canadian banks, but you can actually use this. So this is linked, it's fillable. So I can go like $4,000 right there. It's fillable, and then it does all the math work for you at the bottom, and on it goes. So that's kind of neat. It uses Excel spreadsheet, I believe it is. And then you know how many liabilities you got. The whole thing's on here, debit list. See, what else do we have on here? Home, your mortgage. So now here it comes to your expenses. So you can start filling in some numbers. And, that one's already saved, sorry. I was just typing these in last night just to kind of figure out, how does this work? So this is fillable, it's electronic, and you can use that kind of stuff if you want to come back. A little bit more work because you got to actually come back home and plug in the numbers. But it's cheap, it's free. It's free. It's got everything on there, and I'm assuming it even has donations to your church. It must have that on here somewhere. Housing, mortgage, salary.
Oh, there it is.
There you go. It's a. Yeah. No.
Under less.
Right there. There. Okay. Yeah. So I want to challenge you. Go ahead and do these things because this here is from Crown Financial. You can go to Mint. You can go to, there's also another one here. I was looking at the other day. If I can figure this out, where is it? Money Manager, it's called. So you can get that from, it's a free app, Money Manager. Same thing. You can link all of your bank accounts to it, Money Manager, and all of your credit cards to it, and everything comes out. You don't even have to worry about doing the work. All you got to do is open it up and look where are we at today.
So it's kind of like that Mint one, but it's free. Yeah. Mint,
there is free for a month, and then there's a small charge if you want. Yep. Yeah, there's all kinds of free ones out there.
Banks are trying to sort of implement that.
Yes.
Like RBC has it, but I never use my RBC one anymore. So it says my income is just like a small thing, and all my expenditures are just like a big part of it.
yeah, that's true. I wouldn't be surprised if they'll all come out with it really soon because it's the newest thing and it's easy. We don't like hard work. We like easy work. That's easy work and it'll help you keep things on track. So those are some spending tips, those are some budgeting tips, and I want to challenge you, go ahead and do that, because it'll help. It'll help you see where you're at every month. Most people in Canada have no clue where they're at until they hit the end of the month and they just ran out of money. That's it. That's all they know. And then they go do taxes and they go, ooh, now I owe the government because I didn't do this, this, or that, or I didn't give donations, or I didn't do my RSPs in time, and oh, now I owe too much. And they're not paying attention. This helps you pay attention as you go along. Yeah. Yeah.
Write out the checks, and then I gave it to whatever, my donation to whatever, you were engaged.
I hear you.
The money goes automatically into your bank account, the bank says mortgage and car loan, and all this money comes out, and we go, that's all I got left.
Yeah.
The wife's got to hang up, we've got to go shopping. Like,
yeah.
It's the same as the tithing, too.
Yeah.
You know, we have online tithing.
Here. Yeah. Yeah.
Versus, oh, it all just happened.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like distant.
Let me. I'm with you. Now, my Bible's the same. I used to have a hard copy Bible. I still got it. It's in my room, but I hardly crack it open. And I used to know where the page was, what side of the page the verse was. It was over here because I visually saw it all the time.
Marked it.
Yeah. Now I've got the app. And I'm like, oh yeah, where's that again? So how I figure it out now? I have to do what all the young millennials do. I go online and I type in half of the verse, Google, hit search. Oh yeah, there it is, Proverbs 21. That's what I have to do now. My brain is not engaged. And I say this fully respectfully. People who are underneath the age of all of us, I don't know if they have the capacity to go there anymore, to pay attention to, and I say that respectfully. Because you go to school, I've got teachers, friends who are teachers, and they tell me in the schools, they don't know how to count. They don't know how to write. They don't know how to print. They don't. So we have, our electronic age has taught them not to think anymore. So I don't know if they can do it. We sure can, and it helps us stay engaged.
But how do we transition? In other words, I think we all see value, like on online giving.
Yeah. Yep. So go paper. Go paper. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because you can print that and you can actually write in there. Yeah. I know. I'm a visual. Myself, I'm a visual learner. And so I will remember it a lot longer when I saw it like that. The only thing that I see now on the app is, oh, there's the pie chart. Okay, I'm still good. That's all I know. That's it. I have no idea what's going in. I have no idea what's going out, but at least I can see I'm still healthy. Yeah. So it does help that. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. Great point. And it's true. So true.
Yeah. That's scary. That's good.
Yeah. I know.
I think the real answer is that there's a midpoint. If you're comfortable going electronic, go electronic.
But whatever works.
From
my point of view.
Yeah. Yeah. You can remember. You remember.
You're a lot younger.
I know. I know, but I'm saying that because there's a lot of people probably in my age group that are more comfortable with technology, and I'm not. I'd rather write an old-fashioned letter and stuff. I'm
comfortable with it. Sometimes I question privacy issues and whatever, but I just don't want to do it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have 20 minutes. We have 20 minutes till the golden hour. We might be able to go earlier. I don't know. But I wouldn't mind hearing for at least 5 minutes some of your wisdom. Like, what have you come across that can help the rest of us for how do I stay content? How do I not go in debt or get out of debt? Investments, tithing, and budgeting. So there's five things. So content, like any tips about being content that you've able to block that out. What do you do to block out all the marketing and all the rat race of running? Yeah.
I know that this is just me, but I don't really watch TV. A little bit. Okay.
Or you record it and fast forward through the questions. Yeah.
That I love. I love that. Yeah.
We haven't had a TV for 18 years. Yeah, there you go.
You haven't had a TV for 18 years?
We had our last child. We decided
that is unreal.
We have Netflix, but I don't watch Netflix.
Yep, yep. But there's no commercials on it anyways.
So she
yeah.
That's
awesome. Read a book. Do something else. How about when you go to a store and you see the compulsive, they're advertising it. So that's practical advertising. It's not like I can't shut my TV off. Now you're walking through the store. How do you kind of block the, oh man, I'd love to have a new pair of shoes?
We are
often
intended, I think, not so much more about, like, you're going to get bombarded. It doesn't matter if you've got TV or whatever. It doesn't matter.
You get
it
on everything.
Like, it's just, step out of your house, you're going to get hit with something.
All the time.
Right? Somebody's got a shiny new vehicle. Somebody's got whatever, right? Like, it doesn't matter, right? Like, it doesn't, you know, so it's more of a choice than a what you're limiting yourself to be exposed to. Because if you show up to work or whatever, right, it's like, oh, you know, the person, your coworkers, they wear this, they've got these type of shoes, they've got whatever, or your kids are at school and it's the same thing, they come back and they tell you about, well, how come Jimmy's got this and I don't have that?
Yeah.
Like, you're always going to be exposed to the Joneses, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, you have to decide whether or not you're cool with what you've got.
Yeah.
You know, or if you're not, it really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. You have to make a choice.
Yeah,
you got to do it. Yeah.
Because, sure, yeah, I mean, like, there's certain things that maybe your triggers or whatever that make it harder to be content.
Yeah. Yeah. I like your orange truck. Yeah. Sparks are flying. Yeah. Click them off, click them off, click them off. Yeah.
That the more you realize that these things don't really bring you the fulfillment you're seeking,
yeah,
they start to lose their hold on you.
Yeah.
I'm speaking from my own experience. I have a lot of, you know, sort of addictive behaviors and stuff in my life. And the more I have Jesus and the more I have joy in the Lord, the more blessed those things have
yeah. been. Yeah. Spending time with God. It's awesome. God does that. How about, yep.
I agree with Jillian because, I mean, once you get out of your brain, that you don't need any of this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's not going to make you happier.
And you focus on, I'm going to walk with the Lord every day.
Yeah.
You might be perfect at it, but what a great feeling having joy in your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say the answer to that is avoid debt. Don't do it. And Kath and I have a rule that if you want to spend $100 on something, just go ahead. But anything over, we bring it back and we say, you know, so it's $103. It's next to nothing.
Yeah.
We actually talk about it. We really want this. We really want this. And but we do have a little bit of leniency.
Yeah.
That's why I'm looking at the sales all the time, trying to get to
$100.
But just avoid debt.
Yeah.
There's no worries.
Yeah. Life's more fun.
What?
Life's more fun when you don't have debt.
Yeah.
But that's only consumer debt, and then there's mortgage debt on top. Yeah.
And then there's the government debt for every person in Canada.
Oh, yeah, so true. Yeah, that's very, very true. Okay, how about when it comes to debt? How many of you might have caught it this morning when I said the three challenges? One would be find someone to tell them how bad your finances are. How many of you actually have someone that you've ever told them what things are like financially for you, whether it's really good or whether it's really bad? Like, it's a weird conversation to have with people. We don't talk about that kind of stuff. But how many of you have ever talked to somebody else outside of your marriage about where you are financially? Yeah? Okay, so like half. And usually the answer is, I've never told anybody. It's so bad, I wouldn't want to. And so make sure that you've got someone.
If you're up to your neck and if you really want to share it, like,
it's embarrassing.
It is hard.
Oh.
When you're not even being honest with your banker about it. Yeah? Please be honest with your banker about it.
Yeah. Move things around.
Well, exactly. Or consolidate into your mortgage or whatever.
Yeah.
But people don't tell their bankers about it, and yet in really bad positions where they've got $20,000 in debt at 20%.
Yeah.
When had they come and said, hey, I'm having trouble getting on top of my credit card debt because of whatever, life happens.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Find people that you can talk to so you can have help. And don't feel like you are a bad person, because statistics say all Canadians are up over their head. So let's just be real and let's talk about it and let's get someone that we can be accountable to. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to buy anything you're selling. Just go talk to them and have, well, I'll think about that. And then I'll follow up with them a week or two later. So did you make an appointment?
No. It's embarrassing. Okay. I love it. That is good. How many of you at least have a savings account? Not just spending and checking. You at least have a savings account. Good. How many of you have an investment beyond a savings account? Yeah? Okay. Education? Yeah, that's an investment for your kids. Absolutely. Yeah. So you are preparing and using your wisdom, putting something aside a little bit, doing the Joseph thing. You're doing that. That's all good. And then I won't ask how many are tithing. I'll leave that up to you. But I will say this about tithing. The more you preach about it, the more it happens, Pastor Jazz. I will say that. It's very true. Even when it comes to anything that you preach about in a school, or anything you, in a school or teach in a church, or you teach in a school, you get what you teach or preach for. You just do. So I'm going to challenge you. Be a pastor that shows them how to tithe and what that's all about. Because I do know, before I get to that one, I do know this. A lot of pastors will cross the finish line, and their people in their church will turn to them and go, why didn't you tell me about this? That's what's going to happen to a lot of us pastors. Yep.
Last year, we were in a little bit of financial bother, as our church was in a bit of financial bother. And I've never heard the full story, so I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, just at a high level. But what happened in the second half of the year, because everybody rallied.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, they did, for sure. I mean, but it was also communication, getting to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Understand where we were at, what we were communicating, and
Yeah. Yeah, teaching on it, telling about it is important. Vision casting. We don't do anything unless we got a reason why. It's like, oh, well, that's what we're doing. Well, sure. And so that's good, yeah. It's awesome.
What's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. How many, the last question, before Leslie comes and sings? Just kidding. As she just walked in. Drum solo. You must be a good singer then. That's great. Yeah. The last question that I'll ask you, how many think from here forward you will be able to start a budget? Yeah? You want to do it? Okay, let's just close. Let's go home. This was a fail. Yeah. Some of you are already budgeting. I challenge you, do it. Even if it's the app that does it for you, and at least you can, at the end of the month, see, okay, this is where we're going, and this is where we spent way too much on this and not enough on that. And just at least track yourself a little bit so that you're not like the average Canadian that just spends till it's done. No more days of the month, it's over. And I got no more money, now I'm in trouble. So just try, it'll really help you. It's a tracking tool, and it'll help you go, or you can go old school paper if you want. Go to Crown Financial, and you can download that for sure. And if you actually go on apps, with your app store, or what do they call it, for Play? Yeah, Google Play. You go on there, and you do search for budgets. Just say budget, and it'll come up with like 40, 50 different things. And if you pay a little bit, then you don't have the advertisement. But this one that we were talking about, Mint, it could be free, but you'll have that advertisement that pops up. So who cares? And hit that off. Yeah. So you can use it for free if some of these things, they might have an ad. Some of them are really complex. They might cost a little bit. Apps are cheap, like $10 at the most. And this could save you money and help prepare you for your future, but also your grandchildren who will have your will, and on and on and on it goes. So use those opportunities. I think they can help you out a lot.